Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
Continuing fallout from the incident that occurred earlier this week when Israeli defense forces clashed with pro-Palestinian activists aboard a ship that was headed toward Gaza. This morning, Turkey, where the ship originated, has warned that it may reduce economic and defense ties with Israel in light of the raid. Turkey has been Israel's closest friend in the Muslim world in previous years, and the man who's tasked with handling Israel's relationship with its most important ally, the United States, joins us again. Ambassador Michael Oren is the Israeli ambassador to the U.S. Good morning again.
Good morning again.
We have reports that the Israeli government may be reconsidering the blockade. Is that true?
No, it's not true. We are looking at ways of better enforcing the blockade.
But not in terms of easing it?
Not from the sea, no. Here's our dilemma. Our dilemma is we do not want to cause further discomfort and pleasure to the displeasure for the civilian population of Gaza. We're not at war with the civilian population of Gaza. We are in a state of war with the radical Islamic regime, the Hamas regime, which illegally assumed power in Gaza in a bloody takeover from their fellow Palestinians, which proceeded to launch 10,000 rockets into the state of Israel, and which is continuing to build up rockets smuggled through tunnels under the Egyptian border. Now, getting rockets through tunnels is difficult. You can get them through one at a time. But if you can get rockets on ships, you can get them hundreds, maybe even thousands at a time. And the Israeli Navy has already intercepted three such munitions ships just bursting with bombs and rockets. Now, if we open up the sea lanes, it'll be a extreme threat. Every single city in the state of Israel will come under rocket fire. And also it'll be the end of the peace process. The Palestinian Authority in the West Bank that's negotiating with us will also fall to Hamas. So there is no alternative to the maritime blockade, but we are open to ways of implying it or applying it more effectively, less controversially. If anybody has any ideas, we're open to them.
Okay, but, you know, this is not a great place for Israel to be at the moment. And I want to ask you kind of the rock and hard place that you're between here. People have suggested that perhaps they were putting Israel into a trap by forcing the Israeli army to respond violently when they pulled the blockade. And that's been one suggestion. But if that's true, then that's the trap that Israel has fallen into, and you're now under a lot of condemnation for other nations. Here's the other problem, is that even though you say you're not at war with the people of the regular citizens of Palestine, we still get images coming out of Palestine, out of Gaza all the time, of people living in desperate poverty and terrible conditions. So how do you as a nation, can you relieve that situation and still be safe?
Okay, you've asked a lot of questions here.
Yeah.
we've intercepted about nine of these flotillas. Nine of them surrendered without any violence. In this particular flotilla, five of the six craft surrendered without any violence. We have technical means of dealing with these craft and dragging them into port, pulling them to port without violence. On this one particular boat, which was too large for the means that are technical means at our disposal, we had aborted. And on that barge were not peaceful, peaceful activists, but were literally hired thugs, mercenaries of a radical Islamic regime. So that boat, what occurred on that boat, is not emblematic or typical of the type of flotillas we have been encountering. And indeed, there are two more boats that are destined for the Gaza shore, and these are small boats filled with Europeans, and we're not expecting a similar type of violent encounter. As for the people of Gaza living in poverty, well, that's not our fault. It's the fault of the Gaza regime. The Gaza regime is a radical Islamic regime. It's not allowing in foreign investment. It's not allowing high tech in. Compare it to the West Bank, where there's an 11% year growth rate. There's tens of thousands of new jobs. The Israeli army has pulled back from major cities. There are malls going up, bedroom communities going up. In Gaza, there's nothing. And this is not just because of the blockade. There is no shortage of food. No one's starving in Gaza. There's no shortage of medicine. Over 100 trucks laden with food and medicine cross from Israel into Gaza every single day. No shortage, but there's about 60% unemployment. And there's very little infrastructure because the regime is investing in rockets. It's not investing in infrastructure. The regime discourages innovation. It is living. It is basically a medieval government, and we're not responsible for that. The people of Gaza have to make a decision whether they want to live under that regime or whether they want to join the West Bank and Israel in a peace process, which I believe will lead to an historic arrangement, hopefully within a short time.
Okay, you are the ambassador to the United States, and clearly that relationship has been strained as of late. And I can only feel like this incident on Monday. It strains it further. Certainly one of the people killed during the raid was a 19-year-old American citizen who held dual citizenship with Turkey. That has to complicate your country's diplomatic relationship with Washington. And do you feel like Israel diplomatically on the global stage is now in a weaker position?
I don't think we're in a stronger position, but we have good friends in the world. We have a very strong relationship with China, strong relationship with India, these emerging giant countries. With the former Soviet bloc countries, we have a great many friends in the world, and we are anything but alone. But our greatest relationship is with the United States of America, and this is an historic alliance that has many, many facets to it, commercial, intellectual, academic, scientific, military, but it also has a diplomatic dimension. And the strains that you mention are almost exclusively confined to that diplomatic dimension, which is a very public dimension. And even then, we have managed to cooperate to an extraordinary degree in getting the peace process up and running and in countering international efforts to delegitimize Israel. Even in the midst of this crisis, there was an attempt in the UN Human Rights Council, which exists almost exclusively to condemn Israel. The United States stood side by side with us throughout those debates. So, yes, tensions here and there, disagreements, but overall this is a rock-solid relationship and it's not changing.
Okay. That is Michael Oren, Israel's ambassador to the United States.